Our reading this morning is taken from Revelation chapter 3, verses 7 through to verse 13. Let us hear God's word together. These are the words of him who is holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength. You have kept my word and have not denied my name. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. Since you have kept my command to endure patiently, I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on the earth. I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have, so that no one will take your crown. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. Never again will he leave it. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which is coming down out of heaven from my God. And I will also write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Let us pray. O Lord and Heavenly Father, for these few moments, close us in with yourself, that your word may speak to our heart. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. You might be sitting there thinking, what's that about? You perhaps dip into the book of Revelation every so often and you get lost in the imagery, and the verses seem obscure to us in the 21st century. And no doubt we struggle at times to work out what those images mean, considering that they would have been familiar with certain terms and places in a way that we are not. But yet this verse or set of verses has something very real to say to us that we need to consider. And that is the fact of our perception. So easily our perceptions can become distorted. Who amongst us in a moment of recklessness hasn't looked up at the sun? And even though in childhood we're told not to look directly at the sun, every so often we catch a glimpse of it. In its most serious form, we could probably lose our eyesight. But generally, when we look at the sun, when we turn to look at other objects, they become obscured, distorted. We do not see them as they are. What God is saying in these verses is that whoever has eyes to see, let him see. See, I have set before you an open door. It's not obvious. You have to look for it. Many Christians spend so much time looking at the world around them that when they turn back to look at Jesus and his work, it's distorted. We have been fashioned and shaped by the patterns of this world. Our minds are not renewed by Christ. So when we look at his work and we consider his ways, we are blinded to their significance. Maybe you are. Maybe you're so caught up with what's going wrong in your life today that you do not see what God is doing. You've become blinded. You've become overwhelmed by the magnitude of your difficulties and your problems. Those things that loom large in your life are distorting the very presence of God in it. Look at what he writes here. I know your deeds. See, I have placed before you an open door that no one can shut. I know that you have little strength, yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. Our perception is tied into our understanding of God's provision. And it's as crucial as that. Most of us lose sight of what God is doing in our lives. Most have become overwhelmed by the opposition and persecution that we feel we're experiencing, by the troubles of life, its trials and its difficulties. When they loom in on us, it's like the brightness of the sun. We begin to look where we shouldn't. And then when we seek to turn and look at what God has created around us, suddenly we cannot see it properly. Your circumstances are not determining what's happening in your life. Your spiritual disposition is. Your circumstances will not define you, but your relationship with God must. God is in control. That is what this passage is seeking to remind the readers. I know that you feel that you have little strength. I know that you're encountering great difficulties. I know that those of the synagogue of Satan, no matter who they are making things very difficult for you. But yet, God has not been dethroned. And he never will be. He is the one who makes provision for you in your time of crisis and in your time of difficulty. He said, I know that you have little strength, yet if I open a door, no one can shut it. If God has made a promise into your life, no one can rob you from it, except perhaps even yourself. No one coming against you has the power to dethrone God. He will always remain God. He has never changed. He is the same yesterday, today and forever. Do you doubt today that God will provide for you? Then take your eyes away from looking at the world and look upon him. When you do that, you will see that he has always been faithful. He has always provided. He has always given. And he will graciously keep you because he has promised to do that. I will make those who are of the synagogue of Satan, who claim to be Jews, though they are not, but are liars, I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you, since you have kept my command to endure patiently. I will also keep you from the hour of trial that is going to come upon the whole world to test those who live on it. Yes, the writer is saying, life gets tough. Yes, there are trials that come. Yes, there are days that appear dark, but I will even shorten those days. I will not expose you to a level of hurt and heartache that you cannot bear. I will provide for you, continue to provide for you. I will be present with you. Those of the synagogue of Satan, we don't know how they were seeking to oppose the church. We don't know what difficulties they were causing to the believers that were there. But perhaps an inference from the text seems to suggest that they were saying, you see the difficulties you're under? You see the trials that you're experiencing? That is evidence that God doesn't love you. That is evidence that you're living in a way which is displeasing to God. It may be that those of the synagogue of Satan were prepared to accept the multiplicity of gods living in the community that they lived in. That they weren't taking their bold stand for Jesus. And because they weren't taking a bold stand for Jesus, they weren't experiencing opposition. And they were saying to the Christian church, they were saying, look at you. Look at the pressure that you're under. The pressure you're under is because you're claiming certain things about God. You appear to be intolerant, and that's the way that you're being treated. And perhaps the reason why you're experiencing all these hardships is because you've fallen out of favor with God and that he actually disapproves of you. Maybe he doesn't love you in the way that you think, because if he loved you in the way that you thought, you wouldn't be going through this. And the writer is saying, they're of the synagogue of Satan. Their eyesight is blinded and distorted. And if you look at what they're saying, so will yours be. I want you to look at Jesus. I want you to look at the promises of God. I want you to look at the provision that God makes. And he's declared quite boldly that I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming upon the whole world. I love you. I will not allow you to be overwhelmed or overcome by your experiences, no matter how difficult and negative they may appear to be. That's not a lack of love. That's my great capacity to love you. I am in control. I open doors. I shut doors. And no one can force a door open when I don't permit it. And no one can close a door should I wish it to remain open. I am all powerful. I am all wise. I am all knowing. I'm all loving. It doesn't matter what your experiences are and who is coming against you. I am greater than they are. I am greater than any negative moment you've ever encountered. I want you to know my love, to experience my love. I have you in the palm of my hand. It doesn't matter what trials are happening in the world around you. I will cut those trials short if they were about to overpower you or you were about to be overwhelmed by them. I would not permit such a thing because of my great love towards you. This is a wonderful passage that not only reminds us of the fact of our perceptions need to change. We need to see and behold what God is doing. But we also need to do that because we need to see the provision that he is making. He is making a wonderful provision in your life. He is moving you towards something that you must look forward to. It will be your motivation through times of trial and through times of difficulty. And he clearly writes, I am coming soon. Hold on to what you have so that no one will take your crown. There's a day coming when you will receive a rich reward. There's a day coming when you will get that crown that Jesus has for you. Him who overcomes, I will make a pillar in the temple of my God. You will have reputation because of your endurance. Never again will he leave it. Leave what? The temple of God. Never again will he leave it. That's a wonderful verse, folks. You got to pause there. You got to stop there. Because the problem for so many of us is that, yeah, we feel wonderful when we're in this place of worship. We experience the presence of God as we sing the songs of praise, as we listen to his word. There are moments when Alistair or any of the people preaching here is preaching and I can just sense heaven for a moment. I can sense in my spirit God making a connection with me. Do you know, I have a lot of trials, a lot of difficulties, a lot of things going on in my life. There are financial pressures that I'm encountering. There are relationship difficulties I have at work. There are health issues that I'm facing. I'm raising a family and it's very difficult. Or I have aspirations for my life and none of them seem to be falling into place. Alistair, if you could just understand for a moment all that I'm going through, you would realize how difficult my world actually is. And we all say amen to that because we live in difficult worlds. But when we're in church, when we're worshiping, when we are the church, we feel a connection with each other. There's a sense in which we know the mutual support that we have for one another, that they're cheering each other on, that we're praying for each other. We know that when we sing God's praise and when there's a moment where the word of God encounters me in my heart, Alistair, you don't understand what's going on there. There's a wonderful moment, but Alistair, problem is, this is Sunday. And see, when I leave this place of worship, I have to go home. I have to encounter those difficulties all afresh and all over again, and you're not here with me and they're not here with me. Monday's not like Sunday. And God says, yeah, but one day it will be. And it'll be better than Sunday. You'll never have to leave the temple again. You'll be in my presence forever. That's why I cut the days short. That's why I'm itching to get it finished. I have got to be gracious enough to allow those who have opportunity to come to me, but when that day closes, we go home. When that day closes, is that wonderful experience that we never have to leave ever again, that we are finally home. But I'll give you a glimpse of me now, and I'll give you moments of intense spiritual pleasure in a time of worship and the connectedness with God's people, but I'm going to shorten the days so that we can be there together forever, never again having to leave. I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which is coming down out of heaven for my God, and I will also write on him my new name. He who is an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who has eyes, let him see what God is seeking to say. Do not let what's happening around you define you. Let my provision for you be your comfort and be your guide. Don't look at your troubles and trials and temptations. Look upward. Fix your eyes upon the author and perfecter of your faith. And I want you to endure. I love you. And since you have kept my command to endure, endure patiently. Endure it patiently. Most of us struggle with impatience. We want to be the finished article. But we're not. We want the circumstances of life to be different, but they won't be. Or not necessarily. But they don't need to be. The fact is that he will provide because he is sovereign. No one can stop him from making his provision into your life. And least of all, we should stop trying. He wants to provide. He wants to give us his presence, his power. And he wants us to experience his grace. Our perception, his provision, and then their plight. I will make them come and fall down at your feet and acknowledge that I have loved you. You know, that's a challenge. It's a challenge. It's a challenge for every agnostic, for every atheist, and for everyone who opposes God's work, overtly or inadvertently. And what is it they will acknowledge? That he loved us. I couldn't think of a more wonderful admission from those who opposed God, that the atheist must bow on that final day and say, "You're right. God loved you." So if that's the admission of those who are atheists, or those who were cynical, or those who were directly opposed to God, should we not fall down on our knees and make that admission before they do? He genuinely did love us. And no matter how dark it was, it could have been much darker. No matter what we felt, we could have felt worse. But he loved us. And so much so that he will continue to make provision until we no longer leave the temple, until we're finally in his presence forever and ever and ever. Let's pray. Father, as we're ministered to in song now, take up the words of Holy Scripture, apply them to a person's situation, and may the words that are now sung cement and confirm what God is saying to his people today. In Jesus' name.